So, brothers and sisters, thank God for the opportunity to share like this. In the midst of so many churches that there are in the world and even in India, we can wonder why God started another church, CFC. And there was a reason for it. And I was saying that it was from Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. When the nation of Israel had become corrupt at the end of more than 1,000 years, God said he was going to do something new that would begin with the coming of Christ and the new covenant. Malachi 1:11, it says, from the rising of the sun to the setting, the Lord says, my name will be great among all the nations. And a pure offering, that's the thing I want to emphasize, a pure offering will be offered and my name will be great among the nations. So what the Lord is looking for is not a large offering, but a pure offering. And the offering he wants now is not money. Almost every church in the world says that God wants an offering of money. That is in the Old Testament. And people who emphasize the giving of money in the church are leading believers back into the Old Testament. And CFC, from the beginning of last 48 years, we have emphasized the offering God wants is not your money. He wants something more difficult than that. See what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. All of you must know this verse. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, you know, up to chapter 11, Romans 1 to 11 is explaining the gospel. And at the end of the gospel, after that explanation, he says, this is what I'm urging you brothers now to do. Not present your money, but present your body a living and holy sacrifice. That is acceptable to God. I'll tell you, it is a million times easier to give your money than to give your body. You know what it means to give your body? It means to give your eyes, all you men. All of you sitting here who have heard the message for so many years. Let me ask you straight. Have you given your eyes to the Lord so that your eyes never look at or watch anything dirty or polluted? It's easier to give your money, but God doesn't want it. He says, present your body, present your eyes. Second, another part of our body is our tongue. Present your tongue. Can you say before the Lord, you have presented your tongue? Ask your marriage partner. Ask your wife. Ask your husband. Whether they can testify that your tongue is a godly tongue. If not, I want to say to you in Jesus' name, don't think that sitting in a CFC church is going to make you acceptable to God. You're not acceptable to God. Other preachers won't tell you the truth. A good doctor will tell you the truth about your condition, not to condemn you, but to save you. See, our sin is like a cancer. And a doctor who doesn't tell you the truth about your cancer is not a good doctor. He's only interested in collecting his fees. And that's the tragedy in Christendom today. You know the number of people who have told me, who have come to CFC, I ask you, why did you come to CFC? They say, brother, in every other church we went to, they were only asking for money. In CFC, we don't ask for money, but I'll tell you, we ask you to do something else. We ask you to give your eyes and your tongue to God. Present your body a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? I have to deny myself something to give a sacrifice. It's not just an offering. A sacrifice, the word sacrifice itself means it costs me some self-denial. So to offer my eyes to God means I have to deny the desire in my body to look at something that stimulates me in a sinful way. And all of you men know what stimulates your eyes in a sinful way. Whether it's something you look at on the phone or your computer, or even on the billboards on the road, or just a lot of women who walk improperly dressed around you, in your office or anywhere. That is the number one sacrifice God wants. He doesn't want 1 rupee of your money. And the second sacrifice God wants is your tongue. So that you give your tongue to God, and that what that means is, particularly the way you speak. In the church, we'll all speak very kindly and nicely to one another. But I want to know how you speak at home. What is the testimony that your wife can give about you? What is the testimony that, if you're single, what your parents can give about you? And what is the testimony your husband can give about you? How do you use your tongue? Do you speak, the way to test it, do you speak in your home in the same way you would speak if Jesus were physically in your home? Imagine Jesus is physically living in your home. How would you speak then? That is the test of whether you have given your tongue to Jesus. You say that's an impossible standard. Of course, without the power of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible. And the trouble with a lot of Christians is they are not seeking for the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. A lot of people ask me, brother, what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'll tell you. How do you know whether you have an unclean spirit or an evil spirit? The word itself makes it clear. An evil spirit will make you evil. An unclean spirit will make you unclean. So you tell me now, even the children can answer that. What will the Holy Spirit make you? Not speak in tongues. He'll make you holy. And that's the deception that's been going on in Christendom, where people have been told if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. I've spoken in tongues for 48 years, not in public, because 1 Corinthians 14 says that when a man speaks in a tongue, he speaks to God. I speak to God almost every day in tongues when I don't know what to say in English. But that's not the mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The test of whether I'm filled with the Holy Spirit is how I use my eyes and how I use my tongue when nobody's watching me, when I'm at home, how I speak to my wife, how I speak to others, how I speak to people who irritate me or upset me or call me bad names. That is the test of whether I'm filled with the Holy Spirit or not. And that is the reason why God raised up CFC 48 years ago, because nobody else was preaching it. I traveled around in India for 16 years. I traveled from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, from Gujarat to Mizoram and Nagaland. I never heard people preaching what I'm preaching right now. Never once. I said, Lord, I'm just a defeated Christian. I was a defeated Christian. Defeated in my eyes, defeated in my tongue. I said, Lord, I want to be have the real fullness of the Holy Spirit, so that make me a disciple. Make me live in such a way that it's always as if Jesus is in front of me. And give me the genuine power of the Holy Spirit. That's what changed my life. And that's what made us start CFC, Brother Ian and myself. So, please take this verse seriously. At the end of explaining the gospel in Romans chapter 1 to 11, he says, what is going to be your response now? Let me repeat again, not your tithes or your offerings, but present your body, a living sacrifice. And then what is the next thing you have to present? Verse 2, your mind. So I told you about your eyes and your tongue. Then it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every one of us in our unconverted days, our mind is like a garbage bin. A garbage bin, a trash can full of filth. The minds of men, the minds of women. And we ask Jesus to cleanse us, to forgive us, and he does that. And then what do? Throw more trash into our mind, into garbage. And then we come to church and sing these beautiful songs, amazing words. You think you're the holiest people on the earth. And the devil comes, you know, the devil attends meetings and he says, look at these people. He laughs at people who are living hypocritical lives elsewhere and come to church and sing beautiful songs. So these are the things we began to preach 48 years ago in CFC. And you know what happened? People began to leave our church one by one. People would come, they would not be there the next Sunday. People would come 2-3 Sundays and then go away. And like that, we had a big turnover. I said, fine. I remember telling my wife, I said, if only two of us are left, we will stand true to the Lord. We're not going to compromise. And Ian and I stood like that through the years. And a lot of other people came and went and came and went and came and went. And that's happened throughout the years. And we've seen even elders who come and dropped out, even in CFC. So it doesn't make a difference. But God is determined, like I said in Malachi 1:11, to have a pure offering in every part. So when I see such a big crowd in CFC, I'll tell you honestly, I'm not excited. Other pastors will be excited when they see, wow, look at this, it's becoming a mega church. I feel sad if CFC becomes a mega church. I want it to be a pure church. See what Jesus did in John chapter, please turn with me to John chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6. I'm speaking the truth to you, my dear brothers. If you take seriously what I say, your life will be so transformed. At the judgment seat of Christ, when he comes, you'll turn around and thank me and say, thank you, Brother Zach, for speaking straight to me. I believe that. So please take what I'm saying seriously. In John chapter 6, we read in verse 2, a large crowd followed Jesus. John 6 verse 2. And that's the time when there were, verse 10, it says there were 5,000 men plus many women and children, probably altogether 10,000 people. And that's the time Jesus fed them with the loaves and the fishes. But then he began to preach to them. You know what he preached? He preached the cross, death to self. And the way he expressed it here was, if you go further down in John chapter 6, he said, if you want eternal life, verse 54, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life. What does that mean? I'll explain to you what it means. It means going the same way that he went. He offered up his body and his blood on the cross in obedience to the will of the Father. He didn't primarily go up there to die for our sins. He went there in obedience to the Father, and that was to die for our sins. But the Father said, I want you to go to the cross, offer up your body and your blood. He offered it up. And the Lord says, when he says you got to eat of it and drink of it, means you must have the same spirit of willing to take up the cross and die to your own self-life. See, the strongest part about us is our self, which is very strong. You see that even in a two-year-old. If you got a two-year-old and you see how stubborn he is, refusing to obey you, that is self. It's there in a two-year-old. And even in a one-year-old. And that will, self-will, in all of us, you and me, it has become strong and strong and strong through the years, and it is even willing to defy God. When God tells me to do something, I don't do it. That self-will has to be put to death. And that's what we have preached. And that's what we're going to continue to preach. And that is the way we're going to build fellowship in CFC, with people who are willing to put their self-life to death every day. And you say, how will we know whether people are doing that? I'll tell you. It'll change the way they live at home. It'll change the way they relate to others in the church. It'll change the way they behave in their office. When self is put to death, Christ comes in and begins to rule our life. That is what it means to take up the cross every day. And that taking up the cross every day is another message that is not preached in Christendom, unfortunately. But we want to preach it. That is a central message, because there's only one thing that Jesus said you must do every day. Should you read the Bible every day? Yes, very good habit. But do you know printed Bibles were available only in the 1400s, which is what, 600 years ago? Before that, there was no printed Bible. In Jesus' time, there was no printed Bible. The Old Testament was written on parchment and it would be in the synagogue. If you wanted to read it, you had to go to the synagogue. Nobody had a printed Bible at home. How could they read the Bible every day? So Jesus couldn't say, read the Bible every day. It's a very good habit today when you have a Bible at home. But he couldn't say that then because nobody had a Bible at home. But he did say something else we must do daily. Is Luke 9:23. Turn with me to Luke 9:23. That's the only thing Jesus said we must do every single day. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny his self. That means the self-life must be denied. And take up his cross daily. To take up the cross means Jesus took up the cross to die. And to take up the cross means my self-life must die. How often? Every day. I wake up in the morning and I must say, Lord, this is another day when I have to die to myself. From morning till night. You say that's a miserable life? No, it is not. Because I'll tell you what will happen when you die to yourself. God gives you a resurrection life. That is what we picture in baptism. In baptism, somebody immerses you into the water. It's like somebody putting you to death and burying you. And then somebody raises you up. So the meaning there is, I allow other people to push me down and to kill my self-life. And I submit to that. I will not fight. God will raise me up and give me a new life. Resurrection life. A life that can conquer complaining, grumbling, worry, anxiety, discouragement, gloom, lust of the eyes and anger. And it's a wonderful life. You cannot produce it. You can grit your teeth and do some type of yoga and think you can conquer it. No, but your heart will remain filthy. You can control your anger in the tongue with yoga, but you can't control it in the heart. It remains there and then you're filthy. That's like putting the lid on top of the garbage bin. The garbage bin is not in your mouth. The garbage bin is in your heart. That's got to be cleansed. And that can only come if you say, Lord, I'm willing to die to myself. And I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you from my own experience. I was a slave to all these sins like anger and bitterness and unforgiving spirit and everything. And I want to testify before God, he's delivered me. I could not deliver myself. My flesh self-life was too strong. The devil was too strong. But the Holy Spirit is stronger. And to me, the mark of the power of the Holy Spirit is he delivers us from the power of sin. And I want that for every one of you, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be satisfied that you come and sit in CFC and listen to a good message. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like children going to school and learning nothing. They don't get promoted. How would you like it if your son or daughter goes to first standard, next year he's still in first standard, And after 10 years, he's still in the first standard. You laugh at that and say, well, that's ridiculous. I want my child to get promoted every year. Exactly. But do you know that there are many brothers and sisters sitting right here who are in the same class spiritually as they were 10 years ago? No progress. Ask your wife if there's a change in your behavior in the last 10 years. Ask your husband if there's a change in your behavior in the last 10 years. Just sitting in the same class, getting offended, for example. Overcoming getting offended is a kindergarten lesson. Yet many people have not learned that lesson. It's like CAT is cat. Where do you learn that? Not in 10th standard. CAT is cat as you learn in kindergarten. 2 plus 2 is 4. Where do you learn that? Not in 10th standard. In kindergarten. And spiritually, what do you learn in kindergarten? How to overcome getting offended. That's easier than overcoming the lust of the eyes and anger. But so many believers, they still get offended with somebody. Oh, he said something to me, he did something to me, and they're offended. Year after year after year, they sit in the kindergarten. And we want to eliminate that. I want to show you John chapter 6. This huge crowd was sitting there, and Jesus told them, you must take up the cross and die. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know what happened? We read here, when people heard this, John, please turn with me to John chapter 6. As a result of this message, John chapter 6, verse 66, many of his disciples withdrew and did not walk with him anymore. Now, these are not unbelievers. It doesn't say unbelievers withdrew. They had come to follow Jesus, but when they heard this business of taking up the cross, and in another place he said, you must love me more than you love your father and mother and your wife and children, they got offended and left. How many people were there? 10,000. We saw that. He had fed them with the loaves and fishes. They're very happy to get some gifts from the Lord, loaves and fishes. And there are a lot of people who come to church to get some type of benefit for themselves. Some benefit. I like to go to church because I get some benefit. It's a good place for me to take my children because there are well-behaved children in this church. Is that why you come to church? I'm ashamed to say if some people come for that reason. No, they withdrew because they could not receive the message. They got offended that he had to take up the cross every day, and they left him. And you know how many were left? Verse 67. 12. How many were there in the beginning? 10,000. Jesus had the tremendous power in preaching to reduce a congregation of 10,000 people to 12 people. I say, Lord, give me that power. Give me that power that if 10,000 people come to CFC, I'll have the power to reduce them to 12 people who are wholehearted, radical, and who want to follow Jesus at any cost. Those 12 people turned the world upside down. And the message those 12 people preached has lasted for 2,000 years. That is the power of discipleship. It's not numbers. A lot of people think the great thing is to have great numbers in our churches. I'll tell you honestly, I'm not excited when so many people come and sit in CFC. Because I know they're not all disciples. They're come for some other benefit. Somebody's coming to see, this is a good church. We can find some good partner for my son or my daughter. Shame on you. If you're coming to church with that reason, I say go and join some matrimonial website for that. CFC is not a matrimonial website where you come here to find a good partner for you. We come to church to learn how to follow Jesus. And everyone who's coming to CFC to look for a partner for your son and daughter, I request you in Jesus' name, stop coming from next Sunday onwards. Don't waste your time and our time with coming for the wrong reasons. I want to tell you plainly. I mean, if you can get offended if you like, but that's the truth. Your doctor tells you you've got cancer and you get very upset with him. You go home and die of your cancer. But the doctor says, I'll give you free treatment and cure you of your cancer. That's what we preach in CFC. You've got a cancer of loving yourself, of your anger and your bitterness and your lusting with your eyes, etc. And you receive the word and humility in the church, It'll deliver you from it and make you a better person. The people who want that message will remain. So that is the whole purpose of our coming together. Aim is to get such people together and make them what the Bible calls the body of Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing. When God works in us so that we die to ourselves and live this life at home and in our office, and our daily life is one living as if Jesus is right in front of us all the time, speaking at home in such a way as if Jesus is right there in our home listening. So I want to always speak to my wife as if Jesus is between us all the time. I want to speak to everybody like that. So from there, the Lord wants to bring such people. He can't use everybody to do that, but such people the Lord will bring together and make them into one body. You know the difference between a congregation and a body? A congregation is a huge number of people. It's like, you know, when a building, to use a building, church is like a building also. Let me use the example of a building first. You see sometimes a new building being constructed somewhere. And on the roadside there, you'll find 1,000 bricks. Will be replaced by another 1,000 bricks the next day. 10,000 bricks. But that's not a building. You can't live in 10,000 bricks. Those are a picture of individual believers. You can say it's a mega church, 10,000 bricks, but it's not a church at all. It's not a building. It's when those bricks are taken and cemented together so that they join one another, one on top of the other, and it's not always convenient to have brothers in such close quarters. We'd like to keep a little distance. Some people are like that. They come to church and say, we don't want to get too close to any brother or sister. We'd like to keep a little distance. But then you can't be built together into a body. When they put a building, they don't keep bricks at a distance. The bricks are cemented together, touching each other. And that is how Christ builds his body. So if you want to keep at a distance from other believers, my dear brothers and sisters, find some other church. This is not the place for you. We're seeking to build a body. In this human body, there's no part of the body which is detached. There's no little finger says, hey, I don't like being here. I want to be a little separate. If you want to be separate, be a part of some other body. Cut off. But in the body, the church is called the body of Christ. Every part is connected to the other. And sometimes, you know, your body can get sick. You can get an injury. And if there is an injury in the right hand, what does the left hand do? It does something to patch up the right hand so that it can be healed quickly. And that's how it is. There's a care for one another. That's the type of body we want to build in CFC. A body where each person is like a member of the body that cares for the other person. And where we care for one another, primarily spiritually. And so that we can build up one another. And our goal is that we shall all become like Jesus Christ in our character, behavior, conversation, etc. God, when he made Adam, he made him in his image. But then when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost that image. They no longer look like God. They begin to look like the devil. And all of us are born into the world looking like the devil inwardly. Outwardly, you may have a beautiful face. But inwardly, we are all born looking like the devil. Stubborn, defying to God, disobedient to parents. That's how all of us were. And then Jesus comes in and changes us from within. And removes that image of the devil inside us. Fighting, quarreling, getting angry, upset, getting offended and speaking evil of others, backbiting. That's the devil inside. God wants to get rid of that and make us like Jesus. Forgiving, humble, loving, patient, not loving money, but living for God. Those who are serious about this type of Christianity are the ones we want to invite and welcome to CFC. And we also read another thing in the New Testament that God appoints in the church leaders who are called elders. And they're called shepherds. Jesus said he himself is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, who goes in front of the sheep. And then he has appointed junior shepherds, the elders in churches, to help the sheep, to lead them to good food and good preaching. That's the food that the sheep are given, and to care for them and nourish them, just like children are nourished by parents to become more spiritual. So that is God's purpose. So in order to do that, there's a constant teaching of God's word. There is correction, rebuke. I mean, how do you bring up your children? That's the way we seek to bring up people in the church. We feed them with God's word. Turn with me to 1 Peter and chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word of God. Like a baby needs milk, there are young believers in CFC who need the milk of God's word. And that's why we preach God's word in a very simple way in the church, so that even children can understand. And then as we grow older, we give them stronger food from God's word. And so these are some of the things we need in order to grow: food, fellowship with one another. So people who come to a CFC church, you know, we start our service at 10 o'clock. Now, if it was a meeting with the Prime Minister or the President of India, say the Prime Minister is coming here, going to meet with people, shake hands with each person personally, and say the meeting is at 10 o'clock. Every one of you will be here before 10 o'clock. I want to ask you, when Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst, and the meeting is at 10 o'clock every Sunday, how many of you are here every Sunday at 10 o'clock? There are people who stroll in 10:30, 10:45. I've heard that some people stroll in at 11 o'clock. You insult Jesus Christ. I mean, if the Prime Minister of India were here and he came at 10 o'clock and you strolled in at 11 o'clock, you'd be insulting him to his face. I'll tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, those who do like that, you have no respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. You respect a non-Christian Prime Minister more than you respect Jesus Christ. Don't say you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you'll respect the Lord Jesus when he says two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. I want to say to you, Jesus is always here in a meeting on time. And I believe in a meeting, being in a meeting on time, except unless your car had an accident on the way. Don't say it takes a long wait, long time to travel. Yes, then we use our mind and start at that time. Supposing you were working in an office where they said, we start this office punctually at 10 o'clock and we have an electronic equipment here where you can punch your name. And if you're not here by 10 o'clock, your pay will be cut. If you're 5 minutes late, your pay will be cut that much. If you're 30 minutes late, your pay will be cut every more. I tell you, however far you may live, you will still come at 10 o'clock because you value money. You will come on time. You have to punch your name in by 10 o'clock. But here, he says, who cares? We are going to meet Jesus Christ. We are not bothered about him. I'm more bothered about my job. There I must be on time. Church, oh, it's not important. I want to say to you in Jesus' name, such people like that have zero fear of God, zero fear of God, zero respect for Jesus Christ. And therefore, I say, I doubt whether you're a born-again Christian. You were born into a Christian family, but you're not a born-again Christian. I cannot imagine anybody who's a born-again Christian who couldn't care less for when the meeting starts or when Christ comes into the meeting, I'll come when I like, I'll go when I like. To such dear brothers and sisters, we love you. We humbly request you, please go and join some other church. Don't come here from next Sunday. Go to some other church. Don't come and waste our time. We are trying to build the body of Christ. Now, I mean it seriously. We are serious. You know, if you're selected for the Indian football team or cricket team, and coaching begins at 10 o'clock, and you want to be selected, you'll be there at 10 o'clock, you'll be there at 9:30. Whichever illustration you use, whether selected for a cricket team or a football team, represent India, or to go to office, why is it we keep time for all those other things, but when it comes to go to church, we say, we take whenever we like, go whenever we like, get away whenever we like. And then, the purpose, as I said, of a meeting is not just to listen to a message. It is to build fellowship together. I want to ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, how many other people in this church do you know? Do you know at least 5 other families in this church? Well, I don't mean your old friends who come with you. Have you met 5 families in this church? There are many families in the church. And if you've been coming here for a number of weeks, have you met at least 5 families whom you did not know before? How will you know them if you just walk away after the service is over? I don't think many of you have understood what fellowship is. And that is why I say we want to do a purging, a cleansing. And over the next month, God willing, we want to do a cleansing in CFC so that we are left with only 12 people. Fine. We want people who will be radical, wholehearted. I'm not saying it should be only 12. It can be 500. But they must all be disciples. They must be people who are willing to take up the cross every day, who offer their body to the Lord. We don't want your money. The Lord says, give your body to the Lord and put Christ first in the church, in your office, in your home, and seek to build along with others to become a body here. That's what the Lord is looking for. That's what he's seeking to build. And that is why we are seeking to emphasize this over the next few weeks, because what has happened through the last few months is that CFC has become a mixed multitude of people who are some real disciples and a lot of others who are what I call hangers-on. They're hanging on there, I don't know for what reason, and or want to come for some benefit, to gain something for themselves, not to give their lives to the Lord, not to be a witness for him, but to get something, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe something like that. Don't come for those reasons. Come to Jesus to give your life to him. Come and listen to the message so that you can be a better disciple of Jesus Christ in your home. That your home can be more godly. That you can teach your children to live godly lives. That's the reason why we come together. And so we want to get back to those original principles. Like I told you in Malachi 1:11, God wants a pure offering in every part of our life. And so I want to encourage you to please take God's word seriously and say, Lord, I am sorry. First step we need to do is repent. You know, the last message that Jesus gives to the church in the Bible is, you take time to read it sometime, it's in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. He says, repent to the churches. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told the unbelievers, repent. That's how the church started. But by the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord's telling the church people to repent. And that's what I'm saying to you. The people in the church, repent. Repent of your lack of reverence for God. Reverence for God. That you walk into a meeting whenever you feel like. That you don't respect God's word. a lack of reverence for God in your home, in the way you speak to one another, the lack of respect for God that you don't offer your body to Him as a living sacrifice. I'm not saying this to condemn any of you, my brothers and sisters. I am a sinner whom Jesus saved. I've fallen into sin in my thoughts and my tongue, particularly for years, until I got fed up and said, Lord, save me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and He saved me. It's like saying if I had leprosy and cancer, and I say I went to this doctor and he healed me completely of my leprosy and he healed me completely of my cancer. That's how I'm testifying. And I see a lot of people today sitting with leprosy and cancer. I say, my dear friend, you can be healed. Come to this doctor. That's the one I'm saying. He treats people freely. He can cure you completely of this sickness. He can completely control your tongue, completely control your eyes, completely enable you to forgive everybody who has harmed you. And if you seek His kingdom first, I'll tell you from 60 years of my experience with the Lord Jesus, all your earthly needs will be taken care of. I quit my job in the Navy in 1966. 57 years ago. And I never asked anybody. I gave away all my money at that time for the Lord's work. And I trusted the Lord. I was not married those days. And all these years, I have never taken a salary to serve any church. Never. I've supported myself. I live simply. I rode a scooter in Bangalore for 42 years because the price of petrol was too much to constantly drive a car. And it's fine. But I honored God. And I want to say to you that if you honor Him, He will honor you. I can tell you that. I remember when my father was dying in 1982. He was 81 years old, and his was the first funeral we conducted in CFC. He was in our home. And when he was dying, he called me to his bedside. And he said, son, you got four children. My oldest son, Sanjay, was at that time was 12 years old. And my youngest was 3 years old. And he said, see, you just meet with 15, 20 people here in your home. That's how CFC started. And you don't take any money from anybody. And it's going to be very difficult to educate your children. And they go to college. It'll be very expensive. How are you going to take care of them? I said, Dad, right now they're only in school. And if I don't see God's kingdom first and His righteousness, I will not even be able to pay their 30 rupees school fees, which was the fees in those days, or 30 or 60 or something like that. I won't be able to pay even that. But if I seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, all that I need will be added by God. And today I can testify, after all those years, from the time my dad spoke to me, 1982 till now, 41 years, God has provided all my need in some wonderful way. I didn't go begging. I didn't send prayer letters to anybody. I didn't take salary. God took care of me. God gave scholarships to all my four children to study in college, and they could study and get good degrees and qualify. Not that that is the great thing, but the most important thing is that all my four sons are following Jesus. And now they are training their children, my grandchildren, to follow Jesus. That's how it must be. I say to all of you, I can say that from my own experience now. I'm 83 years old, and I can tell you from my experience. You seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, total righteousness. Never do anything wrong. I don't get into debt. I've lived 83 years without borrowing one rupee from anybody. I've never got into debt. And if I hurt somebody, I will immediately ask forgiveness. These are the laws by which I have lived. I will ask forgiveness from my wife. I'll ask forgiveness even from a young boy if I've hurt him in some way, or a child. I want to always keep my conscience clear. Never be in debt to anybody. always seek to do good and never get offended with people. Love them, and if they come to fight with me, I refuse to fight. So many people come to argue and fight with me, I say, no. Jesus has told me, never, never fight with human beings. Then you will be strong to fight with the devil. I fought with the devil all these more than 40 years. But I will not be able to fight with him if I fight with my wife or fight with other human beings or fight with brothers and sisters. So many of you become weak. You cannot fight the devil because you're fighting with other people. You're fighting with human beings. Years ago, nearly 50 years ago, the Lord said, stop fighting with human beings. I said, yes, Lord. Then you'll be able to overcome the devil. You know why the devil is overcoming some of you? You know why the devil is coming into some of your homes? Because you're fighting with human beings. You're fighting with your wife. You're fighting with your husband. You're fighting with your neighbors. You're fighting with your relatives over property and money. No wonder you have no power over the devil. The devil just laughs at you. Stop fighting with human beings from now. And you'll conquer Satan. I can tell you from my experience. The Lord said to me, you were afraid of Satan for so many years. From now on, Satan will be afraid of you. I can tell you this in your presence. Satan is afraid of me. I'll tell you why. Because I don't fight with human beings. He's not afraid of many of you because you're fighting with human beings. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we do not fight with human beings, but we fight with Satan. That's the basis on which I'm saying it. It's not my word. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Read it yourself. We do not fight with human beings so that we can fight with the devil. You fight with the devil, God will do a miracle in your home. He'll make your children disciples of Jesus. If you decide, I'm never going to fight with human beings. I'm only going to fight with the devil in my life. And if somebody comes to relatives or if they, what if you're, some relative of yours does cheats you of your family inheritance. Let them cheat. God is able to give you much more than what they cheat you of. My dear brothers and sisters, we long in CFC to present to this nation of India another type of Christianity, which is different from money-grabbing, money-loving preachers and where the emphasis is on give, give, give money, give money, give money. But our emphasis is on fear God, obey Him, love everybody, forgive your enemies, ask forgiveness from those you hurt, and don't fight with human beings. Yeah, there's a lot more I can say, but I'll stop here. Please think seriously about what I've said. Please remember, my dear brothers and sisters, if I've spoken strongly, it's not because I hate you, not at all. I stand before God and say, I love you. And I pray I've spoken to you in love. But because the disease is so strong, I have to use the knife like a surgeon to cut deep, to remove the disease. And if you submit to what you have heard today, the Holy Spirit, I can't do it, the Holy Spirit will remove that sickness from you. Your life will be changed. Your home life will be changed. Your children will grow up to become disciples of Jesus. Your financial needs will be met because you put God first. May God bless you all. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Please think, my dear brothers and sisters, I've spoken to you in love with a burden in my heart. Please think seriously about what you've heard. We don't want any of you to be lost. We don't want the devil to triumph in any of your homes. We want your homes to be a foretaste of heaven on earth. We pray it will be so. Heavenly Father, I pray for these dear brothers and sisters. They would not have come here if they did not have some desire to hear your word. And they've come here to hear your word. And they've heard something today. I pray nobody will get offended. I pray they will submit to this surgeon's knife. The surgeon's knife that has cut deep into them to remove the cancer. Please help them, Lord, to submit to that and to be freed and to become healthy spiritually and to be overcomers. Teach us all in a deeper way the meaning of repentance, of turning completely from all known sin and give us the power of the Holy Spirit to be your disciples. I believe there's so many people, their heads are bowed before you, who are sincerely praying that in your from their heart, Lord. Please hear them and answer their prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening patiently. I testify before God that I have spoken in love to all of you. I've spoken strongly because I love you all. God bless you. Thank you very much.